A very blessed and holy Christmas to all of you, from Bishop Kelly, from Bishop Santé, myself, all the priests, and the Daughters of Mary. The epistle appointed to be read for the second Mass of Christmas is taken from the epistle of St. Paul to Titus. Dearly beloved, the goodness and kindness of our God and Savior appeared, not by the works of justice, which we have done, but according to his mercy. He saved us by the labor of regeneration and renovation of the Holy Ghost, whom he hath poured forth upon us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we may be heirs according to hope of life everlasting. And the Holy Gospel. This Gospel taken from St. Luke, chapter 2, verses 15 through 20. At that time the shepherds said one to another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem, and let us see this word that has come to pass, which the Lord hath showed to us." And they came with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph, and the infant lying in the manger. And seeing, they understood of the word that was spoken to them concerning this child. And all that heard wondered, and at those things that were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these words, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. Those are the words of today's Holy Gospel. Let us go over to Bethlehem, and let us see this word that is come to pass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. It was a cold and chilly December night in Judea, and the shepherds were holding night watches in the plains of Bethlehem. They were simple-hearted men. They sat among their flocks, enduring with hearty patience the cold and darkness and exposure of that winter night. And as they lay upon the ground guarding their quiet sheep, a beautiful angel appeared to them and cried out with tones of celestial sweetness, "Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy that shall be to all the people. For this day is born to you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord in the city of David." Today, this glorious anniversary, and this great announcement of the angel to the shepherds, Holy Mother, the Church invites us to go in spirit with the shepherds to see these things which have come to pass. We are invited to go to Bethlehem to see the very same beautiful scene, that stupendous mystery which enraptured the honest hearts of the shepherds. But what exactly do we see when we go to Bethlehem? Says in the Gospel, Mary and Joseph and an infant lying in the manger. In these few simple words of the Gospel, we have a lifetime of material for contemplation. A lifetime would be insufficient to fully explain or to understand or even to fathom the sublime and wonderful mystery hidden in the stable of Bethlehem. But of all the lessons, instructions, and edification derived from the crib, the greatest and the highest lesson, which is taught by the little infant in the pulpit of the crib, it is, what has God given to man? And what should man give to God? He lies not in the warmth of a room. He's in the cold stable of a field. Swaddling clothes of the poor protect him from the severity of the night. His bed is not soft and cushioned, but rather is a handful of rough straw. The attendants of this little crownless king are a humble carpenter, his modest young spouse, the rough and homely shepherds, the dumb brute beasts whose shelter the Holy Family has invaded. Nothing is there that might be seen to be great or significant in the eyes of the world. Nothing, humanly speaking, of a nature to awaken interest or even surprise, but rather has the markings of poverty and humility and self-denial. So much so that St. Matthew would record later in the years, "Foxes have their holes and the birds have their nests, but the Son of Man has not where to lay his head." Far from finding him honored by men as a rule, This little infant is despised. He is persecuted. And even refused hospitality. This is what is seen from the externals and the outward appearances in the crib of Bethlehem. But how different is this little scene presented to our eyes through the eyes of the shepherds who tell us of the angelic apparition of the birth of Christ and of the sublime message with these heavenly messengers brought with them. The announcement of the birth of the King in the royal city of Bethlehem, that is the King of all kings, the King of the universe, the sovereign creator of heaven and earth, through whom all things are made and without whom nothing is made, whose power is unlimited, and at whose name every knee bows in heaven and on earth and under the earth. He it is who now sitteth at the right hand of God the Father, and who at the end of the world will come with great power and majesty to judge the living and the dead. But it is this poor, helpless little child revealed to us today in Bethlehem's manger, the only begotten Son of God the Father, equal to the Father in all things. And what a glorious gift that God has given to man. It is the highest. It is the greatest gift that he could possibly give. His almighty power could not produce. His wisdom could not conceive. His liberality could not bestow anything greater, higher, even more perfect than what he has given to us in Bethlehem. Because he has given us himself. He's not giving something of himself or from himself. He has given us himself, and he could give us no more. St. John says, with his Son, he has given us everything. This little child born in the world on the cold December night was not simply given once to one people or given only for a short period of time. No, he has been given to all of mankind, for all times and for all eternity. This highest good, once given by God, has never been taken back. This only begotten Son, who on this day came forth from the Blessed Virgin Mary for our salvation, has said himself, "Behold, I am with you all days, even to the consummation of the world." And it is here, in the manger even now of our own altar, the crib. The crib is the tabernacle, and is there where we can come to see him, to adore him, to converse with him until the end of time. Lying within the confines of the tabernacle, we find him as humble and as lowly and bereft of all his eternal glory as when he first lay in the manger as a helpless little infant. In this mystery of love, he is really, truly, essentially with us. In his humanity and his divinity, in his dwelling place in the church, is the stable of Bethlehem of old. And instead of a manger, we find a tabernacle. The angels still surround him, as they did in Bethlehem. And all pious, devout Catholics are the shepherds who find on the altar of their Bethlehem the one who is the wonder of their hearts. And we see all the wonders that came to pass, and we adore the very Son of God made man. Our faith, the same faith as the true practical Catholics, is identical with the faith of those shepherds who went to see the Messiah, who heard of the announcement from the angels and believed. And they looked upon the poor little child shivering in the night cold air. Our faith is even greater. For it is less sustained by the evidence of our senses. The eyes of the humble shepherds saw a lovely little infant in them as their Redeemer. Their hearts were enraptured by the sweet smiles, by the looks and love of his tenderness that beamed from his little beautiful eyes. But we, my dear Catholics, we adore his divinity and his humanity, which are entirely concealed under the humble veils of bread and wine. The shepherds were invited by the presence of an angel to go and see their divine Redeemer. But we are invited by God Himself. Come to me, He says. Come to me, all ye that labor and are burdened, and I will refresh you. And then He gives us the great consolation. And you will find rest for your souls. Who is it that is not looking for peace and rest of soul? His generous, overflowing love of His Sacred Heart has in reserve for us a treasure even still more priceless and blissful. Once He came to Bethlehem in the lowly garb of our humanity, and now He gives Himself in the form that continually, most lovingly, as food for the nourishment of our souls. And it is hereafter that He will give Himself to us in the fulfillment of the measure of eternity in heaven. It was a great joy for the shepherds to behold a little tiny baby. It is even a greater joy to see the host held in the hands of the priests, to see the salvation of mankind. God has given us a great gift today on this Christmas day. And what have we given Him? When we receive a valuable gift, we strive to show our heartfelt appreciation for it by making some fitting acknowledgement to the one who has given it to us. And the greater the gift, the greater should be our return. God bestows numberless temporal gifts upon us, such as the means of our sustenance, the fruits of the earth, the food, the drink, the clothing, and a place to live. And from these, we can and should so show our gratitude by making Him offerings of our temporal abundance. But today, the anniversary of the Nativity of Christ, it's not a question of a trifling or a perishable gift. It is the greatest, it is the highest gift that we possibly could receive. And therefore, we must know how to show our appreciation for this priceless treasure, how to render our one true benefactor the gift that we possess that would be fitting, and that return that we are to give to Him is our entire self. We are to give to Him our entirety. We are to give Him our understanding. To give Him our understanding by thinking of God throughout the day. Just an act of recalling to the divine presence of God in a moment sanctifies even the most mundane actions that we perform during the day. We are to give Him our wills by willing only that which is good and to reject that which is evil. It's simply to give our wills to Almighty God is simply to follow His commandments. This is giving our wills to God. And we must present to Him our entire self, our soul with all of its members and our body. We must use our eyes to behold and admire wonderful works of God. We are to use our ears to hear the instructions of God. We are to use our tongues to announce His praises. We are to use our hands in doing good. And we are to use our feet to walk in the way of holiness and salvation. My dear faithful, this is giving ourselves to God in return for Himself. How long is God with us in this world? And He is with us every day. How often are we to show return of gratitude every day of our lives? Today, Christ is born among us. And we as Catholics know that in just a few moments, He will be born in the hands of the priest. We will be celebrating the birthday of Christ with Christ. When you see Him in the hands above my head, adore Him, thank Him, and give Him what He wants. We simply want your love. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.